Federal Budget 2026 with a wire on National Community and Indigenous Radio.
The federal budget handed down last night outlined new spending across Medicare, hospitals and public health, with the government described its measures as a safeguard for the future of Australia's health system. Medical groups say the pressure on hospitals, GP shortages and the rise of illicit tobacco-related illnesses continue to stretch the system. The Wire's Thomas Kudus asked the President of the Australian Medical Association, Dr. Daniel McMullen, for her reaction to last night's budget.
It was a bit of a mixed bag. No huge surprises given most things had been announced before last night. Obviously, the biggest spend in health was locking in that $25 billion of additional Commonwealth funding for our public hospitals. And that's much needed funding. We know our public hospitals are in logjam with people waiting far too long for emergency attendances, elective surgeries, a range of treatments in public hospitals. Unfortunately, our modelling shows that it's still a shortfall and probably about $9.6 billion short of what they needed to invest. But $25 billion is still a lot of money, and now the focus is on getting that funding flowing as quickly as we can so Australians can get care. In terms of other good news, in general practice, they've introduced a health check with a GP for all kids aged 3 years old, and that's really wonderful news. We used to have a four-year-old health check that was disbanded and axed about 10 years ago, and we've been fighting for the reintroduction of that since then. So it is great news given we know GPs are so central to the health and well-being of young families. But that's about where the good news ends. I'm afraid that the rest of it was pretty mediocre and a real missed opportunity to modernise Medicare more broadly and support people with chronic disease or those who need a longer visit with their GP. And really not much in it at all in terms of reforms to our private health sector, which is also facing a lot of challenges.
In the opinion of the AMA about illegal tobacco products, do you think the budget measures go far enough in reducing illnesses and stress hospitals?
Look, smoking remains one of our leading risk factors for lung disease, heart disease and preventable illness and death. And so we need to be doing everything we can to reduce rates of smoking, whether that's legal tobacco or illicit tobacco. And the problem at the moment is illicit tobacco and nicotine products are hugely available. They're taking over the market. And we really need a coordinated response between Border Force, our health agencies, police and law enforcement to make sure that this illegal organised crime activity is stamped out and that people don't have such ready access to these illicit products and get the focus on smoking back to public health. Because you're right, if we're worried that we might see increases in smoking rates and that would put more pressure on our health system and most importantly would harm the health of Australians.
Do you think the reduction of private health retiree subsidy will impact on the public health system?
We are worried that this reduction in the rebate given to people aged over 65 who take out private health insurance, particularly for lower-income older Australians, people on a pension who've held private health insurance for many years and are at the stage of life where they're likely to need to use it, reducing that rebate may cause some of them to drop their cover entirely or reduce the level of cover. And then that could put more strain back on our public health system, which we've already said is in huge amounts of strain at the moment. So while we welcome the investment in aged care, by all means, we of course need more aged care beds, more aged care packages, it is really concerning that the funding for that is coming from older Australians and reducing this rebate to private health insurance.
The government is continuing its rollout of urgent care centres. How effective have these centres been in reducing hospital waiting lists?
We are concerned that urgent care centres haven't really demonstrated their effectiveness and they're not well connected to the rest of the healthcare system. So in some areas, urgent care centres have reduced how much minor injury or minor illness has presented to emergency departments. But when I speak to my ED colleagues, that's not what's clogging up the hospital system. What's really making those wait lists long is very sick people who do need to be in hospital. And yet these urgent care centres are quite expensive. In some areas they're difficult to staff and in far too often the care you get in an urgent care centre isn't then communicated back to your usual GP. So while the government has now continued to fund these and said they're part of our health ecosystem going forward, we now need to work out really how they fit in to the rest of the health system, how we make sure that communication is there so that people get a connected healthcare journey and not just these little fragments of care that don't join together, which leaves everyone confused.
What is the AMA's opinion on capping the specialist fee?
So this budget announced that more consultation will happen about access and costs of specialist care. And we recognise Australians are paying more for their healthcare. The data shows that. Our response to that when we've looked at the funding and modelling behind it is that the Medicare rebate has contributed the most to those out-of-pocket costs. The Medicare rebate was frozen for many years and hasn't been indexed appropriately since then. And so the cost of delivering care, CPI, wages, everything else continues to go up while the Medicare rebate has stayed stagnant, leading to this widening gap. So yes, it's true that Australians are paying more, but we need to have an honest look at all of the contributors to that cost and make sure that governments, private health insurers are paying their fair share of rebates back to patients to be able to have a really honest conversation about, you know, what's driving these costs and how do we address them.